You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
I'll always remember meeting Howard. He was a three-year-old intact male German short hair pointer that purred. Or at least that's what the owner said he was doing. Thankfully, I know that dogs don't purr. What I was hearing was a deep-throated, I am seriously contemplating biting you, growl. According to the Centers for Disease Control, about 4.5 million people are bitten by dogs on a yearly basis, and one in five requires medical attention. But why do dogs bark? Are there certain breeds that are more prone than others to nip? What can a pet owner do to make their canine companions less likely to strike out? Dr. Stephanie Schwartz is a board-certified veterinary behaviorist. She's going to help put some teeth into your efforts to make sure your dog doesn't purr. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Schwartz, thank you so much. Dog bites are such a problem. I know we're always trying to safeguard myself, my staff, and pet owners in a veterinary setting, and that setting can be rather disruptive. But dog bites happen all the time and everywhere. Do you have a lot of problems with that, people coming to you with dog bite issues?
The number one issue reported to me by clients is all problems of aggression. So that's the number one reason that pet owners seek help. Number two would be inappropriate elimination in the home. Three might be destructiveness and all kinds of anxiety disorders, compulsive problems. But aggression certainly is number one. And I think that it's underreported, extremely underreported, because most of the dog breeds that come up on the lists around the country as being the top 10 culprits are the larger breeds. We don't hear much about the Chihuahuas that bite or the little Jack Russells that bite or the dachshunds that bite. And yet there was a survey that was done, I believe it was from the University of Pennsylvania. They surveyed about 6,000 pet owners, and the dachshund was the number one reason cited by their own owners that bit. So I think those figures are probably just the tip of the iceberg.
I agree with you. It's those big dogs that definitely can do a lot more damage just because they have that force behind their jaws. But you get these little ones in who are so coddled sometimes by their owners and in their little arms, and it's their babies, and you try and take them away and they turn into alligators.
That's right. But it's exactly what you said. The large breed, a Rottweiler that is aggressive, is far more dangerous than a Chihuahua that's aggressive. However, I will say that there have been cases of toy breeds that have killed people. There was a case of a Pomeranian that killed a baby, I remember reading about. So even small dogs need to be considered dangerous. And I think that we have to be particularly careful with children and pets, because the most common victims are children, and in particular, boys under the age of 9, say between 6 and 9, are the most commonly bitten, probably because of their own behavior. Little boys will be boys, and they don't pay attention to the force of their arms or their legs, and if they're pinching, pulling, kicking a dog, or just waving their arms and behaving just as a little boy normally does, which is very boisterous and assertive, then a dog might take it to the next level. And frequently they do.
I think there are just boys, children in particular, are so curious. You know, they've seen the movies, they have the cartoons. Oh, all cats and dogs are friends until proven otherwise. And you're right, these kids just don't understand. Like, you get these very small children, you know, they're gently trying to pet the kitty or pet the dog. It's like, nice, nice. And it's like this poor animal.
It's frightening. It can be very frightening. And really, I mean, having been in a room with my own children, they can be extremely scary creatures. You know, they scream and they yell and they bounce off the walls. To a dog who doesn't speak the language, you know, it can be very frightening. On the other hand, there is a minority among these cases of aggression towards children. To be fair, we should say there's a small percentage of children who behave abnormally towards the pet. And these are the children that are in the early emerging symptoms of psychopathology. So children who have been abused themselves, or children who are psychopaths. These are the ones who are more prone to abuse the dogs. So cases of animals who become aggressive towards children habitually, and even animals who come in who have been aggressive and have been injured themselves and seen by veterinarians, those are the cases that should put on red flashing lights for everybody concerned, because there may well be a problem that we need to deal with the child. So, but I said that those are the minority of the cases, but still we have to think about those.
One of the situations that I see very frequently, people, thankfully, are taking dogs now from rescue organizations. You oftentimes have no history of what's gone on in this pet's past, how it's been socialized, and now they get this pet, they adopt it from a shelter or rescue, and they go, oh, the dog is fearful because the dog has been abused. How can you tell the difference sometimes, or can you, between a dog who's been abused or a dog who maybe just hasn't been socialized?
Sometimes you can't. And sometimes, by the time I get to see them, it's not even important how it began, just the fact that it's a problem now, and the cause of it almost doesn't matter anymore, because we'll never know anyway. Really, the more common problem of pets coming out of shelters are anxiety disorders. So, for example, I saw a dog yesterday who had been acquired after her third home, and she had some issues of fear aggression, were actually quite minor, but she also had symptoms of separation anxiety syndrome and post-traumatic stress disorder. And in the history, the owner knew that the dog originally came from a home that was a pet hoarding situation of 30, 40 dogs with no food, no water, and living in their own feces. So we know that this dog had a very hard time. Was it socialized? Probably not. But at this point, it didn't really matter. We needed to make the dog feel better and more comfortable and help her through the rest of her life. So shelter dogs, most of the time, are not going to be too aggressive because most shelters, and there are always exceptions, are getting pretty good at evaluating the temperament of dogs and are getting much better at placing dogs in appropriate homes. So I don't think aggression would be a huge issue in most cases, but any dog will bite. If a perfectly wonderful dog is placed in a situation where it's frightened or scared or needs to defend itself from other dogs or people, then it certainly might become aggressive.
You were talking about socialization, and this is something that there have been TV personalities who have really stressed, you know, you need to be dominant, you need to be the leader of the pack, you need to show that you're the boss of the pet. And in my mind, raising a dog is like raising a child. Each child is different. There is not one set of rules, regulations, suggestions. It's going to work on every pet, every child. So is it important, number one, for you to be leader of the pack, to be dominant over that dog?
I think this is such a great question, and I totally agree. I think that it's not about dominance. It's about leadership. It's about inspiring your family or your community or the people at your job or your dogs to want to follow you. It's not about fear-based training. It's not about squashing their spirit or behaving physically abusive. It's about instilling in them the desire to follow you. And that is about your presence and the way you carry yourself, and it's about being consistent and behaving as a leader would. Every dog also is different, and they need different leadership styles. To a degree, it's relative to the breed. So the way you train a German Shepherd might not be the way you train a Greyhound, for example. If you behave dominant and yell and scream and wave your arms at a Greyhound, they're just going to get freaked out and never want to come near you. A German Shepherd who's challenging the owner, well, you might need a little bit more of a firmer voice. You might need more food treats, but it's still going to be about leadership. And that, I think, is an important thing to keep in mind. It's not about dominating anybody. You know, we hear these terms of the alpha male and the alpha female, and it's not about what the position of the dog is. It's about the leadership of the person who is head of that family or that pack.
So how do you show leadership? Is positive reinforcement? Give me an example of you have a new puppy you brought into the home, and this is a puppy who is biting your hand. I mean, it seems to be one of the most common behaviors because it's just having a good old time. You'd see it with its litter mates, and it's chewing on its litter mates. It's chewing on the bitch or, you know, whatever. And now it comes home, and it's chewing on you. How do you get it not to bite you? It's a play bite, but still it hurts.
I think that when you watch puppies with their mothers or with their litter mates and they're starting to nip at each other and play bite, one of the first things you'll hear, not even see, you'll hear the victim, the receiver of that nip, squeal or yip. And that is a signal to stop. It's too hard. And so there's a feedback mechanism, a social feedback mechanism that is normal between puppies and the puppy and their dam to control the bite. So learning to inhibit the bite is part of growing up, just like kids need to learn to inhibit their own behavior once they start going to school, hopefully. Not mine, but hopefully. Oh, no, they're not that bad on most days. But, you know, the beginning of that, I think, when you get a puppy and if they are nipping, it usually starts with people allowing the puppy to suck or kind of gently gnaw on their fingers. That would be an inappropriate thing to tolerate. Simply remove your hand or your clothing from the puppy's mouth and say no in a firm voice. If they come back and do it again, you can gently encircle their little muzzle, not to squeeze, just to give a little bit of a closure to it, and again say no. And every time they come back at you, repeat the same thing. This is not something you want to do in a dog that's older, even 5-6 months, once the adult teeth come in, probably not something that you want to do at that point. But it's very effective and simple to do in young puppies. people who play footsie games with the puppy, you know, moving their toes or feet back and forth under the covers or their hands. This is also not appropriate because you're encouraging the dog to jump and nip and behave aggressively, even in play.
And but Dr. Schwartz, it's so much fun.
It's fun, but what you teach your dog in play translates into how they behave as an adult because they bring those behaviors with them into adulthood, except now it's a more serious problem.
So is it appropriate to ever grab them by their scruff if you know, you've tried telling them no, you circle their little mouths as babies, you've closed it, you keep, you know, that low tone almost of a growl bark no, and it goes, I don't care, I'm going to still keep chewing on you. Is it appropriate to grab them by their little scruff like mom might have scruffed them and then read them the riot act?
Well, the mother is not going to scruff a puppy. A mother cat might scruff a kitten. So that might be something you could do in very young kittens if they're doing the same kind of behavior. And kittens can certainly have problems with play aggression as well. It's the same thing, but not with a puppy. I think with a puppy, if the muzzle correction doesn't work, then push them into a sit and a down and hold them down for 5-10 seconds and then let them get up. Just like a mother dog would probably give them a good push and keep them away. But the other thing you want to do is redirect that energy towards a more appropriate target. So at the same time that you're correcting the puppy or the kitten, you want to get another toy available and direct that play bite towards something that they can sink their teeth in, so to speak. So a ball or a rawhide chew or take them out for a walk. These are ways that you just want to get rid of that playful energy.
Well, I'm talking right now with Dr. Stephanie Schwartz. She is a board-certified veterinary behaviorist talking about dog bites, ways to prevent it, understanding. So right now I'm going to redirect you to one of our commercials. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Betty White, what's the number one pet radio network in the world?
Pet Life Radio.
Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer. What radio network has over 5 million monthly listeners and over 50 pet talk shows?
Pet Life Radio.
Rachel Ray, where is the best place to reach potential customers if you have a pet business?
Pet Life Radio.
Put your business in front of over 5 million pet parents with a radio ad on Pet Life Radio, the award-winning number one pet radio network on the planet. Call our sales department today, toll free at 877-385-8882. That's 877-385-8882. Or email us at sales@petliferadio.com. Steve Wozniak. If Apple was a pet business, where would you advertise your iLeash?
On Pet Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Angelina. Join me for some great training tips to live a happy, healthy, peaceful life together with your best friend. And by the way, they're not the only ones that learn something new. Join me for Teacher's Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
All right, Dr. Schwartz, thank you very much for being with us today. I think this is such an important subject. One of the things that oftentimes, several years ago, I had an opportunity to be at a function for Dog Bite Prevention Week or Awareness Week, which is coming up on May 20th of this month. But I was at a function for the U.S. Postal Service, and there were all these mail carriers who'd been attacked by dogs, some dogs that they knew, some dogs that got loose. Why is it that dogs in particular seem to want to go after UPS men, the mailmen, anyone who comes up to the house?
I think in part because men are biologically more threatening as an intruder, and that's probably a mammalian instinct. Also because men carrying bags look bigger. They're walking fast and right into the core of the territory, and the uniform then becomes part of the symbols, the triggers, the cues that cause the dog then to react to other people wearing similar uniforms. Dogs are territorial. That's one of the reasons we bred dogs to begin with from the ancestral wolf, which is also very territorial, except their territories are 50 to 100 square miles. So the UPS man is going to have to walk a long way to get to the wolf den. But they're in our neighborhoods. They only have a few feet. I think it's incumbent upon dog owners to protect their dog, not to protect the UPS man, but to protect their dog from situations they shouldn't have to handle because they're only going to be able to handle it as a dog. Protect the dog from being set up to follow its instincts and to behave in an uncivilized manner. That means, in the case of a UPS man or the postal worker, to keep your dog inside when you know that the mail is going to be delivered, or place your mailbox on the other side of your fence so it doesn't have to be, so you don't have to have the mail carrier walking up to your door. Keep your dog in the backyard or somewhere else so that you can protect the dog from behaving as any normal dog would. It is normal for dogs to behave territorially.
It comes in my territory, I bark, and it leaves. Hey, I won. So next time it comes in, I'm going to bark even more. Or I've even seen dogs who've gone through plate glass windows to horrible injuries to themselves because they were trying to get at something.
Correct, yes. Most of those injuries going through windows are probably due to separation anxiety and trying to escape or trying to get to the owner. But certainly there have been cases of very determined, aggressive dogs who have gone through plate glass windows.
Another situation where dogs can become aggressive and trying to read dog body language. I do this every day, and sometimes I think I have that animal down. I understand where they're coming from, and they just turn around, and it's like, oh, I moved my hands just in time. But right now, I love dog parks from the aspect that dogs can get out there and run and play in a safe environment, at least safe with regard to having access to cars or cars to them. But now you put dogs in a situation of an enclosed area. How do you know if your dog is appropriate for being at a dog park or when you see another dog, ooh, is this one just trying to be friends or is there going to be a dog fight?
I think that probably an important thing to do is to introduce them to dog parks when they're young. And on this, I want to say two things. First of all, it used to be common practice to recommend to not introduce new puppies to other dogs until they were 6 months old. This is no longer considered helpful. In fact, it's detrimental to the dog's development. And after the first two distemper combination vaccines, even before it's had a rabies shot, I think it's okay for them to be introduced to dog parks. Most of the dogs at dog parks are completely well cared for by responsible owners. It's very unlikely that they're going to get rabies from a dog at a dog park. And as long as they've had the first two of the series of distemper vaccines, it's perfectly fine to introduce them because the benefit of socializing that puppy far outweighs the minimal risk of getting sick. The other thing I want to say is the dog parks are a completely abnormal situation. There's no rule in any dog's genetic code that says they have to tolerate being social to other dogs at a dog park. Again, going back to the ancestral wolf, wolf packs do not come and meet at dog parks. They try to avoid each other because if they see each other, they will kill each other. It's not normal. The advantage of a dog park is, for dogs, is that hopefully it's relatively neutral territory. And if dogs are socialized to each other at a young age and learn to associate the dog park as a playful situation, then it's something that many dogs will learn to tolerate. But still, it is not for all dogs. Some dogs who are socialized and love dog parks as young dogs may not feel that way as they grow up. So, for example, I saw a dog who was not neutered, and he was perfectly fine at dog parks. But when he started hitting puberty at 8-9 months, all of a sudden it took on a much more serious tone. And he wasn't just fooling around anymore. And the other dogs were also becoming more aggressive towards him. So one of the things that we talked about was neutering the dog. Some dogs are traumatized by other dogs at dog parks. They can get scared or treated aggressively by other dogs, and that can then create phobic responses or fear aggression, and they too can become antisocial, and it's better perhaps to just avoid dog parks. So they're not for all dogs, and I think most dog owners are pretty sensitive to understanding their dog's limitations.
What are some of the body cues that a pet owner can look for in another dog? Say, here you have a dog, you're going for a walk, it sees another dog across the street and it wants to eat it. What do you do for that dog? Do you say it's a bad dog?
Not at all. It's behaving normally. Walking your dog is usually around your neighborhood, and that is an extended part of your territory. So territorial aggression is part of the motivation. The other thing is that your dog is also motivated to defend you. And if he or she perceives another dog behaving aggressively, even if it's very subtle or inconspicuous to you, they will be motivated by pack defensive aggression as well. Although some of my colleagues don't believe that dogs defend their pack, I do absolutely believe that they do, just as we would defend our families or family members. I think the most important thing that we can do as dog owners is to begin training our dogs the moment we get them with obedience commands. They don't speak English or Chinese or Swedish. You know, it's all about giving them a cue word, a sound bite that they associate with a position or action that we reward them for. The command to sit and stay, down, come and heel. Those are the five basic commands. And with those commands, you can get your dog to do just about everything. There are additional ones, of course, leave it, drop it. Those are fabulous too. But if we train our dogs wherever we go, not just at puppy class, but bring that training into your home, practice in your home, through every room of your house, practice during walks, practice at the dog park, practice in your car. If you lay the foundation of good communication and obedience response in your dogs, then when something does happen, you have something to fall back on. But if you have no communication with your dogs, and you don't, either of you, don't have obedience skills, there's no way to control a dog in any situation. You can't communicate with them. But if your dog sees another dog, that worries him or her. That dog has its ears perked up. It's straining on the owner's leash. Maybe that dog is coming at you at speed and it's off leash, clearly not behaving in a civilized way or in a friendly way. Then you can tell your dog, heel, leave it, and do what you need to do to defend yourself if you need to. But without the communication skills, there's no way to train any dog. And it's not about dominance. It's about communication and leadership. Your dog needs to know what you expect of them in every given situation and that you can be relied on to make appropriate decisions.
It sounds so straightforward, and I hope that every dog owner out there listens to you because this is so critically important. I know so many dogs are relinquished to shelters because of behavioral issues, and one of the big ones is biting. And when they give these dogs away, I tell people, you know, when they ask, well, should I just give it away because it's biting? It's like, you're giving away a loaded gun. An animal that can't be controlled by you, and you know this pet. So it's so terribly difficult.
It is. It's heartbreaking, frequently heartbreaking, because the vast majority of these bites probably were in self-defense or in response to something that could be easily avoided or trained out of the dog. But we're in a very disposable society, aren't we? Everything is disposable. People, relationships, cups, plates, everything's disposable. Cell phones, computers, you know, we throw everything away. And it's very easy to throw pets away. But I think that we have to elevate our own humanity in so many regards. And if we are taking the responsibility of a life into our own lives, then I think it's important for us to try everything we can. The worst thing in life is to have regrets, looking back on the things we could have, should have done. And we know so much more about dog behavior now. There are other specialists like myself around the country. I happen to be in California, but there are specialists around the country now who are board-certified veterinarians who can help. Dog trainers may or not be helpful. They don't have the credentials that we do. Some of them are really wonderful for basic problems, but I think that you always want to go to the best available help, and I think that would be folks like me.
And I totally concur. It's not going to be a easy one-time event if you have a pet that's a biter. It's a fearful pet. I love your idea of starting early. Make sure you choose the correct breed for you and your family. Spay and neuter it. Make sure you obey the leash laws. Having these pets running free, it can set up your dog, who may be being the best of dogs, into a situation that it just can't handle, puts other people at risk. Socializing, training them early, make sure you get the appropriate person to train you. As you said, dog trainers can be marvelous, but oftentimes it's just the come, sit, stay, doesn't get what's going on between their little ears. And know your dog's behavior. When you have questions, ask your veterinarian. I try to help, but there are so many times I know I need to refer to someone like you, Dr. Schwartz. Thank you so much today, Stephanie, for being with us. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure, anytime.
And if somebody needs you, your information will be on our website so they can find information on how to make them the best pet owner possible. So thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again. Next week we'll have more information. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and you've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.